Welcome back to Gasbagging. I'm Dan Morrison, and I'm joined once again by Hubhouse head, Nikki. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and talk about the Hub story of the century.
I was going to say, how are you dealing?
I'm holding up. I'm holding up okay. I'm a little bit nasally. I've been crying all night. I'm unwell, but not for the reasons you might think. I can't get enough of this story. I can't stop. Like, we thought Scandivore was interesting. This is interesting. This is what I want to say.
So you were saying just before we hit record, you've been seeing theories on Twitter this
on Twitter
Carl Lindsay
and,
breakup.
Yeah, and on like the Bravo accounts on Instagram, there's a rumor going around that he got someone pregnant.
I want that to be true.
I want it to be true. I know it's terrible. I really want it to be true. I wonder how he had the time to do that, considering that they live together and they film together. If he was seeing someone for a few months and allegedly got them pregnant, how and when? How much time does he have in his day?
Me as a sane person, I would have the fear of God in me to sleep with someone else while with Lindsay Hubbard. Like, she scares the absolute shit out of me.
Bonnie Moylan doesn't begin to cover it. Like, I love Lindsay, and I have been on record as a Lindsay stan for a long time because she's my favorite kind of unhinged. She is self-aware enough to know that she is an insane person, but not enough to actually do anything about it.
No.
And I really appreciate that in a reality star.
I never want to see growth from a reality star.
No, God, no. It's like, remember when Kristen Doty started taking medication, we think, and she started leveling out and she got boring? I don't want that from Lindsay. I want her to stay unhinged.
Oh, absolutely. Otherwise, I'll stop watching.
What's the point? Truly, what's the point? And someone else on Twitter was saying that a wedding guest, an invited wedding guest, has said that the wedding is not off and this is all just speculation. And people were backing this account up saying, you know, no one's confirmed it, no one's denied it. And I have to say, if it wasn't true, don't you think she would have put out about 20,000 PR stories by now saying how untrue it was and how in love they are?
Oh,
she would have denied it by now.
100%. It would have been a people exclusive.
Oh, completely.
Lindsay denies rumors. Yeah.
She would be pap walking like the best of them. Sean and Camilla Hoomst, they would be strutting down Fifth Avenue, hand in hand, looking at wedding dresses. She would have pulled the wedding up early if it was not true.
It would have been the like Heather and Terry Dubrow, you know, pictures where they're like holding each other like outside of that restaurant just to like.
Those pictures.
They
it's so funny.
We'll talk about OC soon, but those two hate each other.
Oh, they hate each other. They hate each other so much. Can I be really honest and no one get mad at me? I've never really watched OC. Like, I know what happens. I understand the overall story arcs. I've never sat down and watched it because it's just so much to get through. And I've been watching it recently. The early seasons of Heather and Terry, it's like Paul and Adrienne in the early seasons of Beverly Hills, where they just like hate each other, but they plaster the smile on to get through the day.
Yeah.
And it's only because Shannon comes in with, what's his name again? I can't remember.
John Jansen.
No. Bador.
No, Bador. Oh.
Yeah, Shannon comes
horrific
in.
Man.
Yeah, horrific, terrible man. When they come on together, their tension is so much worse that it overshadows Terry and Heather's tension. They hate each other. They despise each other. It's so funny.
They look picture perfect compared to David Bador and Shannon. Yeah. Like, that's like. I still.
That dinner party?
That image of like, oh, the first dinner party. Like, amazing. Like,
that is like dinner party from The Office. Like, they could never. They couldn't write anything that good. It's so funny.
A star was born in that moment.
You will all see the truth. Screaming at each other in the butler's pantry. It's amazing.
I love Shannon Bador. I'll say that. I'm a Shannon Bador stan these days.
She's the best. She's always been the best. Let's be real.
What do you think we're going to see Summer House-wise? Like, I guess, like, when we see the fallout.
I think I hope that we get an entire season of Lindsay being a bridezilla. Like, that's all I want. I want her to be, like, activated about people coming to every single event in full glam, new outfit, can't repeat anything, has to all be different every single event. And then we get the, you know, fade to black, almost like the Kyle Richards, like, we were so happy then, we had no idea it was coming for us. And then fade back in and it's Lindsay and Carl breaking up on camera. Like, that's what I want to see.
Oh, yes. They need to lead with the breakup.
Yeah, they need like
Carl
a like
blindsided her.
Yeah, like a black and white and like a flicker on the screen and like something like that, you know?
Yeah. And then Paige just like smiling in the background.
Oh my God. Could you imagine right now? I would do anything. I would give anything to be in Paige's group chats right now. I'd love to know what's going on.
Mm.
She will be sitting first chair in that reunion, smug, like shit eating grin on her face. And we will have to, unfortunately, accept that she was correct in some fashion or another.
I think we'll be seeing Carl and Lindsay first chair on either side, though. I feel that's going to picture perfect. That's going to be compared to last reunion, yes, where they're basically sitting on each other's lap.
Oh my God. With her plastic extensions. I love you, Lindsay. Never change.
Yeah. One thing I did want to chat about is obviously the return of Salt Lake City this week, which I'm so happy it's back.
I'm so happy it's back.
That opening, the drama of the opening, I'm so happy that we're going back to just like making it seem like it's not real.
The vignette of them like walking across the street with the Psalms playing, yes, over the, I was howling the entire episode. I don't know about you. To me, it felt like a Drag Race acting challenge, like the whole thing. This is camp, like looking camp right in the eye. They are the most unserious cast. I love every single one of them. I would watch them do anything forever.
It's like so good. Like none of the fights are real. Like the fact that we had Meredith and Whitney going at each other about a bathtub. And even I wasn't even convinced Whitney was like delivering her lines properly. No. Like it all just sounded like a parody, like reading. It was so strange, but I loved it.
Meredith hiding behind those sunglasses as Whitney says to her, I didn't say you do ketamine. Like she was trying not to break. She was trying not to corpse on camera. She's an improv queen. Like someone get her on SNL. It's ridiculous. They are so unserious and they all know it. And I love it.
And now we have Mary Cosby back as well, which I'm so happy about.
I could watch her try to open that door for 3 hours, please.
Oh, and just the fact that she didn't even join in with women in that snowball. Like, I love someone who's just like, no, I'm not getting involved in this shit.
I'm not getting involved in that. They don't pay me enough for that shit. Not knowing whether or not her son is married. Incredible.
Fascinating. And then the producer's like, don't you live in the same house? And she's like, yeah. We got to sort that out. I'm like, oh, great.
I know she's a terrible person. She's one of the funniest people to ever exist on this face of the planet. Like, she's amazing.
Oh, she's a horrific person, but phenomenal and comedic TV. Like, I need to, just read out word for word the text that she sent Lisa Barlow, one of my favorite scenes. I was like, Lisa, you're the biggest idiot. You're a black widow. You're the biggest liar in Utah. Wow. You'll kill people with your nasty tequila, which I think is the best one.
That was my favorite.
You remind me of a witch. You evil person. You're not interesting. You're a horrible human being. It's so good.
I love it. That moment in the trailer, the very last beat where Heather says, do you think I look inbred? And Mary says, I do.
I do.
I love it. Hook it right up to my veins, please.
Perfect delivery. And then also I just loved when her like dramatic return, like before they panned up to her face, just hearing her quotes like over the top. And I forgot about your kids need nutrients like that.
Oh my God. Oh my, speaking of Lisa's children, that scene where Lisa Barlow is in her talking head trying not to cry about Jack wanting to go on a mission, but because of her fillers, she can't like scrunch her eyes up. So she just smiles. She's like, huh?
She looks so unserious. Like it's just like,
so funny.
She's there. She thinks it's like so traumatic. I'm like, your face is not telling us that, Lisa.
Your face is not saying that at all. And it just, I think what people have been saying is obviously the kids are more involved in the church than she is, Mormon 2.0. So she wouldn't have been involved in the prep for this. I understand that she's upset, but what did she think was going to happen? This is the kid that said fudge college a year ago.
Iconic.
And said that he didn't want to go because you handed him an allegedly million-dollar company at the age of 18. Why would he want to go to college? Why not go on a mission?
Yeah, it's like – and also she's always really like pushed her – like as in like she's the most like religious one of them all. Like, you know, she's still accepted by the church and she's kind of like
obviously
in it.
Obviously not.
And now her son is doing what she – ideally in her head, if she's a great Mormon woman, would want him to do it. Now she doesn't want that to happen.
Exactly. It's very strange. I did love the moment in the car with her husband and they can't even carry on a conversation because her phone is going off so much because she's the queen of Sundance. I was screaming.
I love that she's the queen of Sundance and all that means is rearranging a room.
getting someone to get a vacuum or something, or like sweep up
the stuff.
Yeah,
can someone mop here? And then she's like, can you like 180 those chairs? And then it's like, okay.
I love it. Party planning queen. Stacey could never.
No. Oh, God. That story. That storyline of Stacey doing the party planning. What did you think of new girl Monica?
She's a star. I fear she's a star. She's so messy. I love her.
I love that she says, like, later on in the episode when she meets Heather, she's like, oh, Jen told me all this stuff about Heather, but I'm going to make my own assumptions about her because, like, everything out of Jen Shard's mouth is a lie.
Total lie.
But then when she met Angie and Lisa, she's like, I've heard everything about them from Jen. They're terrible. And I'm just like, okay.
We're picking and choosing. Okay, no worries.
We love – the thing I love the most in a housewife is double standards.
Oh, completely. It's the only way to be. It's the only way to be. If they – I'm not watching these people for this sort of moral high ground. I'm not watching them to sort of say, how should I live my life? These are not my actual Bible. These are people who I watch to laugh at, and I want them to be – terrible people at their core, really.
Yeah, I want to watch awful people. That's like when people were going, oh, like Erin donated to Trump. I'm like, I'm sure she did. And I'm sure Ramona did many times as well.
And Jill Zarin as well.
Yes. Yeah, all your faves before did that as well. So don't be shocked. What, people, rich people might be bad? Yeah.
Ooh, crazy. Yeah, oh, my crazy gosh. Concept.
Also, I just have to say, those background characters at that like snowball thing that we did, was it an open audition for new housewives that season? Like, everyone was like a character that Mary H. looked insane. Like, she didn't have any lines, but I was just like, what's – yeah, it felt literally like a open call to like any woman in Salt Lake to come in and go like, oh, do you want to be the next – Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I remember reading somewhere that for this season they sort of did that. They kind of filmed with a lot of people and have basically made them all friends of, or just sort of cut them back to be featured appearances or something like that because they were sort of concerned about the number of people on the cast and do we not have enough storylines to keep this thing going, and we want to make sure we're throwing everything we can at the wall to see what sticks. Yeah. That being said, I think Monica was an inspired choice hiring one of Jen's informants, basically, one of the federal government's informants. Incredible.
Truly
move.
Amazing. And incredible. She's just going to – and she's going to say things she's not meant to say. Like, completely. She's probably has a terrible lawyer that's not told her to, like, don't mention any of this. She's like, no, exactly. I'm just going to spill every single piece of information I have.
Exactly. So I think that will be really fun to play, like, watch play out, even with the randoms everywhere, just showing up to events and stuff. I think that will be fantastic because – we know that Meredith is going to give us a couple of moments of outrage, which we've already seen in the trailer, and then she's just going to be benzoed out for the rest of the season, and that's fine. I'm happy for her to play that role. Whitney, I think, has got a fake marriage breakup storyline in the works.
Oh, 100%. She said to him, oh, we don't really have anything going on this season. Do you mind if we just pretend our marriage is about to fall apart?
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like Lisa's just going to be sad about Jack going away, and then Heather's, I don't know, bought a new house.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much else there.
Heather needs a redemption season because she, after last season and Ultimate Girls Trip, she needs a complete 180 on her character.
That was tough stuff that season. That was, I can't go through that again. I personally need her to have a good season because I think she's a great housewife when she tries, but when she tries too much, it goes the other way very quickly.
Yeah, I think she just got too much confidence from Rihanna saying she liked her back at like the season one reunion, and something just flicked in her head and it's never been the same since.
Oh my God. I'm really hoping that scene where they're all wearing bonnets and they're arguing with each other, I feel like that's where we're going to really see some stuff start to fly.
Yeah. And also, even though I did not care for Angie last season, I'm kind of happy she's around because I don't think she's well.
No, not at all. Yeah. Money laundering, cheating. I'm into that.
Yeah, I'm into that. I'm also into her husband, who hopefully should appear more now that she's part of the cast.
Hopefully. You don't want Seth's foot in your taint?
No. Seth, what was the point in the trailer where he goes like, does he say what's the frig or something like that?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. What the frick's going on?
Oh, the frick. Yeah, that made me drier than the desert. Like, yeah. So no Seth for me, thank you. Can we move on to Roni?
Please.
Would love to hear your thoughts on the new iteration.
Look, I think we've got something good on our hands here. I think you said that it's sort of like Real Girlfriends of Paris, and I agree. I am tired of the girls hating on Jenna Lyons for being more rich and more famous than them. They just need to cool it. the reaction to the gift bags, it's like Kelly Ben Simone on Scary Island, like jumping back when she opens the door. Yeah. Calm down. It's free shit. Who doesn't want free shit?
You're all on the show for the same reason, to push exactly. your products. Like,
don't get mad because she's better at it.
Exactly. And also don't get mad because she wants to fly business class. Like, that's what we want from these. I think I messaged you this. I was ashamed of the women for being fine flying coach. Like, that's the problem here.
Not the problem.
Jenna flying business, that you all flew coach is the problem.
And you accepted that offer from production and didn't say, no, I'm not flying fucking coach on a girls' trip on Real Housewives of New York. I know you have the money. Pay up and we'll go in business. That's what they should have done. Sorry, unionize.
Find a friend with a jet. Yeah.
Find a friend with a jet. Brynn probably has a friend with a jet, to be fair.
Yes. Oh, God. She would have dated someone that has a jet.
100%. Gideon's definitely got a jet for her.
Oh, I love Gideon. We can't go down that road. He's a perfect man. She's an idiot. She's an idiot for not.
I'm so tired of her Samantha Jones audition. I think she's fun. I think she's like great on camera and she sparkles, but I'm sick of the Samantha Jones audition. We get it. You fuck. Who cares? Get over
exactly.
it.
Yeah, it's getting tired. Can you please let the listeners know what your username is on this? On this call.
I'm Parvat's Banh Mi.
Great.
Yeah. He's flying to Vietnam. I don't know what's happening in their marriage. I don't think they know what's happening in their marriage. I need to see more of it. I need to see this crumble. I wish them a very merry divorce.
I love Jessel. Like,
same.
Great, great housewife. And just like their relationship is phenomenal.
Amazing. It just completely... Just no self-awareness whatsoever, saying Tribeca is an up-and-coming area, just like nothing. And I love that about it.
When they go to dinner and she's like, he's like, I really like this area. She's like, here?
Yeah.
She's great. And then also just when we're talking about him going to Vietnam and she's like, you're going over for a sandwich. That's weird, no? Like, she's just like, her delivery just kills me. Like, I find her fascinating to watch. Her Jenna... and Erin, I would say, are my like kind of standouts at the moment.
Yeah,
I'd like to see more Uber, but she's been, you know, sick half the season.
Yeah, she's like, she's basically been demoted, the poor thing. She's met Oprah and she's still being demoted. I love Erin. I love watching her. I'm interested by her. I am struggling with her sort of playbook, I guess, the way she runs over to Jenna's house, gives her the butternut squash soup, says... gets this information about not wanting to fly coach and wanting to fly business, and then immediately throws her under the bus. Like, it's quite obvious, and I feel like she's probably a bit smarter than that, and she could probably do a bit better. I don't know, but
yeah,
she hung out with Frederick, so who knows?
Yeah, I think she's doing the whole like, oh, this is what a housewife does, so I'm going to like play that part. But for the most part, I appreciate her, you know, putting in the work.
Oh, completely. That being said, I don't blame Sai, even though Sai's driving me crazy. I don't blame her for leaving that boring-ass fake wedding to go and get some fucking food. Like, I would 100% do the same thing. No one cares. You've been together for 10 years. You're the only people that care this much.
It was a sponsored anniversary. Like, it's just insane.
I read they didn't even get married in December. Their anniversary is in July.
Oh, God. So they just literally just moved their anniversary around for filming.
Exactly.
Oh, again, she's doing the work.
I mean, work. Get the bag.
Get the bag. And quickly on OC, I just wanted to touch down this week on Emily getting wasted at Heather's HD launch event for a streaming service, even though she explained it. I'm still confused about the concept. Where
a streaming service?
Yeah. So I'm not even going to be able to explain it properly because I don't think she could. Basically, people are there's like unscripted, scripted content. People can like upload stuff themselves, so it's like almost like a community streaming platform.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And she also just kept saying, "Oh, and like with." Live, like people can react and like, you know, like laugh and clap and stuff and that like to it. And then Tamara just kept going, how? What do you mean? And she was just like, oh, the technology allows you. And then like that Tamara was just like, that's an Instagram live. Like that's not.
That is an Instagram live. That is a Heather Dubrow branded Instagram live. Do not. That is amazing. What the fuck?
But also my favorite thing Emily said, because there was just obviously like branding everywhere, you know, as Heather smartly does, just like HD always. Everywhere. But Emily just drunk off her face going, oh, I'm surprised we didn't get branded when we got here.
Oh my god. Amazing.
And even though this whole storyline of like selling a house is apparently Heather's only storyline this season, she's avoiding, you know, the fake pap pictures she took with Terry as like a storyline she's not actually going to touch down on. Mm-hmm. The fact that as they were selling their house, we got flashbacks to when it was a construction site and Vicky was facing off against Megan King Edmonds. It was just like beautiful hearing her screaming about how Jesus is a part of all of this. And then Megan goes, has nothing to do with Christianity. And then Vicky's like, of course it does.
Like I said, I'm just getting through these seasons properly now. I've always appreciated Vicky's sort of complete detachment from reality, but her ability to just turn it on a dime and just start screaming over the tiniest thing, amazing. Again, I know she's a terrible person, but I'd watch her do anything.
Terrible person, great TV. That's the best. That's all that matters. And then my other favorite Emily line was just telling Heather the other week that she looks like a whale trainer in her in her wetsuit that she wore to Tamra's party. The flashback to that was just phenomenal. So
Emily, I love Emily from what I've seen of her. And I think that the Ozempic or whatever it is she may or may not be using is probably just really tearing away at her ability to hold her booze, it sounds like. Yeah, amazing. Great.
Yeah, she's I was never a huge Emily fan, but I've turned now. I'm a full
Emily. You didn't like
Emily
New Hip?
New Hip is the only, it's the my only touch point for her previously, but I'm all in amazing. Now. All right, well, we're going to take a break and come back with our Sydney girls. And we're back with Real Housewives of Sydney, episode 4.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm so honoured to be here to review this amazing episode. This is probably my favorite episode of the season. This is one of the best ever made.
I had such a fun time rewatching this. Like, cause I've been like on this like rewatch, I've been, there's very dark moments. It's very oh, this is like very like toxic, whatever. But I just had a great time.
There's so many cool quotes from this episode. There's so many. I have like a full page of notes of just hilarious things, like off the cuff things that have been said. It's incredible.
What's your first one? Because I have a feeling I've almost written down the same one because there was something amazing Nicole said in the opening scene. I don't know if you've...
Oh, is it about learning about fabrics and the importance of hand washing a cashmere jumper and looking after a silk dress?
Yep. Those are the things you need to teach your children.
I forgot about her accent. She sounds like every single 21-year-old from the eastern suburbs who has lived in London for 2 years and just gotten back. It's just amazing. I love
her. It's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. That's what I need from that scene alone. I was like, oh, I'm actually quite happy she's coming back because I'm like, that's what I need from her. I just need that. It's absolute delusion that this is how you raise children, telling them how to hand wash a cashmere jumper.
No prize at the other end for the person who's packed the lightest.
Yeah.
I love her.
So good. I love when they arrive there and Chrissy just goes straight for, oh, cute waiter. Like, and it just...
it just never ends. Love a cute boy.
Yes. No, literally. And you just hear it and you're like, okay. And it almost, not that in the next episode that Lisa's reaction to Chrissy is warranted, but I think she is just like building up like completely. All these things being like every time we walk in somewhere, you have to make a comment. Like,
completely. I did also love when they got there, you can hear in like every long shot, everyone's going, oh my God, it's beautiful. Like it's amazing. And then you just hear Maddie over the top go like, oh, just like yelling, just nothing. I love her.
Maddie's great. She's a joy to watch.
She really is. She had so many good moments this episode. I forgot.
The Nicole and Athena conversation on the balcony. Mm-hmm. And then Nicole's measure of a good person is knowing other people's children's names.
She's trying not to piss herself laughing as well. Every time she asks Athena a question and then sort of gives her a beat and waits for her to respond and sort of see how she's going to take this question on, how she's going to react to it. You can just see she's fighting for her life in those moments. She's trying not to burst out laughing. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm watching it, trying to hold myself in while she's going, I know your children's names. Yes, of course I do. I listen when people speak to me.
Athena just struggling. You know, like she's screaming internally, going, I don't know any of these kids' names. And as she says in her confessional, I'm not running a preschool here.
No, she's not. She's not running a preschool.
Sorry, just back on Maddie when they're like standing at the the dock and she goes,
I think I know what you've written. Well,
this is the only time I'm not fully booked.
She says it like 10 times.
Yes.
And earplugs for everyone. She's such a star. I love her.
I love her. And then when Athena's coming down the boardwalk, Victoria goes, she's got another cape
on. Another cape on? Athena's fashion this entire trip is just beyond. Like the ivory bracelet, the cape, the little sailor's outfit, all of it. Yeah, it's just
the turban at the turban. Dinner table. She looks great. She actually looks phenomenal. I'm just like, these are amazing outfits. Like she's really dressing for the back of the room.
Oh,
like,
completely. She's dressing for the place across the street, to be honest. I think Dorit would have a good time in her wardrobe as well. I think they'd be soul sisters.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh, I would love to see those two like dress each other. That's
please.
Just on the ivory bracelet then when we're at the dinner table, that again, Athena fighting for her life just in those situations. Lisa was on her side.
No. Yeah. Naturally walked in front of a 12-gauge shotgun. That is such a brutal line. I genuinely don't think Athena knew how ivory jewelry was made. I think she genuinely thought that it would like die of natural causes and they'd be like, well, we don't want to waste the ivory, and that's how she got an ivory bracelet.
She fully believes that. She fully believes that's how it ended up on her wrist.
Isn't that what we all need, no, just to like believe in ourselves and the reality that we've constructed for ourselves? Like maybe we should be taking a leaf out of Athena X's book.
Oh, I think there's plenty of leaves from this. This rewatch of her, I'm like learning so much. That's what Kate said on the last episode. She was like, the way I would sit down for like Athena X, like
completely
self-confidence class, like truly phenomenal. Yeah.
Please, the level of delusion. It's incredible. It's amazing.
Lisa, just Lisa Oldfield, this, as I thought we had like a hint in the previous episode where like, you know, Victoria sat down with Lisa and they kind of connected. It's just like, Lisa wants none of it.
No.
She's just created like this almost fine marriage again, just in this moment.
Yes.
And the line I had written down about Victoria seeing Lisa standing up for her marriage, she goes, she's done a 360. I'm like, no,
not
that's
quite dumb.
That's a 180 dumb.
a bit far dumb.
And I just love that Victoria makes it, like, brings it back on herself and she's like, oh, I'm feeling like a fool talking to her. Like, it's now
completely her
problem that Lisa's marriage is, like, back on track or is not in a shambles. She's like, oh, this is affecting me now.
Absolutely. And I think in that moment as well when she brings up, because she goes in quite hard, she just straight away says, well, Lisa, you know, mentioned that she wants to get a divorce. Not even that, you know, Lisa has said some things aren't great in her marriage and sort of leaning into it a little bit more gently. She goes straight in and mentions the divorce and the camera cuts to Chrissy and again, fighting for her fucking life, trying, because you know they've spoken about it and you know that she's probably said, oh, just bring it up and say that she said they're having some problems, but instead she's just gone straight in for it.
Yep.
And Lisa's back immediately gets up and it's fucking amazing.
It's just that that marriage, and I said this last week, but it is the most toxic thing in the world. Like they hate each other.
Completely despise each other. It's actually crazy they've gotten that far. I think if this was now, and I know there's only about 5 or 6, 7 maybe years after this has been filmed. If this was now, production would have stepped in and said, we actually can't have you as a full-time cast member because you guys need to go sort this stuff out. Because it's genuinely quite upsetting to watch some of their scenes together.
The way she speaks about him is disgusting. Like the way he speaks to her as well is disgusting.
Foul. Absolutely foul. That moment you mentioned last week where, you know, you could have taken off in your broom.
She's like, oh, fuck off. I'm going to hell for that. I'll save your seat. I won't be there.
Save your seat. When they're talking about
orgasm?
Yeah, the orgasm. She wants to say hello, it goes 2 hours. Of course, her orgasm is going to be 10 minutes. We've never
great
had
confessionals
sex.
Confessionals for Maddie.
We've never had sex. We've only made love.
I think I actually don't doubt it. For some reason, I was just like, I just have a feeling Panos might be an amazing lover.
please stop. Don't. Yeah.
Delicate hands working with all that lavender jewelry.
Oh, yeah. God, no. That'd be horrible. That'd be so rough. Are you kidding me? No way. No chance. That man doesn't moisturize.
I was about to say, I don't think he's out the back welding. Like,
that'd make him more attractive, to be honest.
Yeah, true. True, true, true. Then we move with the girls to Sahana.
Yes, of course.
Which stands for peace and tranquility.
Which they need a lot of, yes.
Yeah. I loved Maddie going, we're on the wrong boat. Let's get off.
Oh, my God. I love them on this yacht, jumping on and then looking at all of the rooms and, you know, finding out that people have been put together because they snore. I'm a snorer. I'm aware that I'm a snorer. I know that. So I would have to be in the small room with Maddie or Lisa, which I'm okay with. I think that would actually be fine. Who would you most like to room with?
I would like to – oh, actually, there's either two options, either Victoria or Chrissy.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Victoria would maybe drink so much that she would probably go blackout and be like a kind of heavy sleeper.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Like,
yep, yep.
And I think almost the same for Chrissy. I feel like it's – although she's just so – tall that I feel like she limbs would, might be everywhere, so
yeah,
I feel like
take up the
Victoria's
whole bed.
A bit
Victoria's
more like compact.
Short.
Yes, yeah, yeah, so
compact. Yeah, no, that's fair. I think I'd take Maddie then. If Maddie's got, especially if she has like the CPAP machine,
yep,
then I wouldn't hear her snoring and I could just snore in peace and then everything would be fine.
I also just love that Athena got the best room. This is somehow fictionally Victoria's boat that she's organized. And then Athena ended up with the best room. I love how she just like, she's walking out of whatever bathroom there is. And she's just like, isn't this great? Like,
isn't
she's just
amazing?
Like, and then when she walks in and sees the room, she's like, oh, she goes, I think you guys should have got my room. But at no point says, you should take my room. She just goes,
never.
Oh, that's terrible. That happened to you.
It's like, oh, that's such a shame. Anyway, bye. Right. Sort of struts out with her robe that's like monogrammed. It's got a name on it.
Oh, phenomenal. Oh, that also, the ugliest thing I've seen is Nicole's hat that had her name stitched into
it, God,
that she had
don't.
At the start.
That is hideous. It's atrocious.
Oh, for a woman with all that money and all that
money can't buy
you know, designer, that's, yes, Luann said it best.
Yes, she did.
The girls doing their little activities.
Oh, my God.
The joy I got out of watching Chrissy and Victoria just absolutely like face plant and like fall off was just, I don't know why. It's like, it was so like slapstick, but I was like, this is great.
It is the sort of core tenets of physical comedy. It is an poorly inflated paddleboard. It is two women who probably paddleboard on the reg, right? They probably go out. I can imagine Vicky Reese.
That's in Rose Bay. They do the stand-up paddleboarding there. Yeah.
Completely. I could imagine Vicky Reese paddleboarding around Rose Bay, having a grand old time. She probably wouldn't go that far into the harbour, to be fair. She'd probably do it at, I don't know, one of the eastern suburbs beaches.
Mm.
But the joy I get out of Vicky on that inflatable paddleboard coming up to the boat saying, if I can get off this board onto that boat, I'm a fucking champion, and then immediately face planting. And the
Phenomenal.
Editors leave it, and she's doing it down the barrel of the camera. It's incredible work. Amazing.
Also just Maddie trying to get in the water as well with her flippers on. Just
heels would have been easier in the ocean.
Comedic star.
Yeah. Lisa's Aquaman. Jason Momoa, watch out.
Also, I feel bad that, like, Melissa and Athena just got to do nothing.
Just
like, they just said,
the
they're
beach.
Like, your activity for the day is just strut down the beach for
just
us and just
down
sit
beach.
Down and talk about Melissa's anorexia.
Okay. So, the thing I struggle with in this scene, they say that they've known each other for a long time. I don't think they have, obviously, because they never have. But Athena seems to have it in her head that Melissa was like the Australian Britney Spears.
Yes.
It's
which
very strange.
Is not true.
Sadly not. Sadly not true. But she seems to think that Melissa was like a huge international superstar. And Melissa always talks about growing up in the industry and being in the industry. I'm like, what industry are you talking about? Because I don't think it's the entertainment one.
I also don't think it's like when you have like a one hit wonder song.
Yeah.
It doesn't sustain.
No. I couldn't sing it off the top of my head. There are plenty of one-hit wonders that I could sing for you. I won't put you through that torture.
Mm.
But I could not sing you a song off the top of my head at all.
I only know it from this show. Like, if you gun to my head before the show ever came out and you said, who's Melissa Couts, I'd take the bullet. You know what I mean? Like,
completely.
There's just like, No idea, but now I do know Read My Lips quite well just from watching the show. So,
what about Gamble Song? Do you know Gamble Song?
Oh, Bon Jovi Road. I actually know that one. One can kind of that's like you see it in there a little bit. Yeah, the rest not so much. I think there's one called like Silver Bullet or something. But again,
that sounds about right.
Yeah. But who can say?
Who can say?
But Bon Jovi Road, a banger. So,
use your core dolls.
Yeah, sorry, but like this conversation about Mel being anorexic and Athena just dropping that Victoria's like mentioned. Also, I 100% believe Victoria did say this because you can tell at the dinner table later on when Victoria's like, I don't think I would have used that word, and you can see her like struggling, being like, you know, 100%.
100%.
And this is, again, as Chrissy says, no one should comment on anyone's weight. I never, like me watching Melissa on this show, I've never gone, oh, she's like terribly thin.
Neither.
She's not big, but she's not terrible. Like, she's I don't know where this like narrative's coming from. Neither. Like, how is this a topic of conversation?
It's very strange. Like, she's had two kids, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
And she just looks like a normal slender woman who may or may not have had children. Like, I probably wouldn't have been able to guess if I'd seen her on the street, if she'd had kids or not. She just looks like a normal slender average woman. She doesn't look like, and that's not to say that everyone who has eating disorders looks, you know, deathly ill or thin or anything like that, but I don't know where this has come from. It's very strange.
Yes, like how is this a topic amongst you girls? But yeah, apparently it is. But weight is a common theme in this show, this series, to a toxic level, but like it just seems to pop, rear its ugly head like literally every episode.
Did you say you were a fat little girl? Oh god.
Horrific.
Love it.
Then we get to the lunch by the beach.
Of course.
Which looks lovely.
It does look lovely.
I love that they sit down for like 2 seconds and then Athena just jumps in immediately and she's like, oh, this is so lovely, Victoria. But it almost comes with a price tag. Yeah. And I'm just like, you guys are literally.
Dan, she's been a guest on many yachts. Okay. She didn't even get a mobile phone to call the boat guy, like the little boat person, to take her to the port to go shopping.
My God. I love as soon as Athena says it as well, you just hear Victoria go, okay, good to know. She couldn't give less of a shit.
Not
what
at
Athena's
all
about to say.
When are we going? Next week? Like, oh, amazing.
And then also when Maddie is like, when they're talking about the rooms and Athena getting the good one, Maddie also says, Victoria, we are very graceful.
I never picked that up until I watched this time.
No, I
never
did.
And I did the same thing. I burst out laughing. We're very graceful. I love them.
And then one of my, I don't know, favorite scenes that I think the line is seared in my head always when we get Lisa walking up the beach. I also love, in my head, when this scene starts, I always just think this is like that Lisa has just come out of the water. Like, even though she's not fully drenched, this is this narrative I have in my head
for
myself.
She's just like emerged from the water, like on X on the Beach, when they like walk out of the water up onto the beach. That is 100%. What Lisa has just done. Yeah. And she like storms up. She's like huffing and puffing and she's like waving her arms. And this is exactly what I look like when I get angry. So I completely sympathize with her. And she fully storms in and she just, I got stuck in a current and nearly fucking drowned.
Iconic.
Just amazing. I also need a talking head from the morbidly obese Swan guy. Where is he?
I know. They should have got him on the reunion couch. Like, please, he should have been there to report in. Like, say, in my head, she's just gotten off the inflatable swan and is walking up the beach. Like, this is all very immediate. Like, this just happened.
Still with a full beat, like none of the makeup's moved, like the red lipstick's still on, and she's just like walked straight out of the water.
And it's good to, she also taught me what the international sign for emergency was as well, because I didn't know that either.
I wouldn't have known that either.
I thought you'd do the one arm up for a lifesaver, but apparently it's a house.
It's the YMCA. Yeah.
It's so, and I also just love how all the women do not give a shit. Like, they're sitting at that table just, like, laughing and all making
fully
the sign,
laughing,
like, going, oh, my God, like, it's so good.
Fully laughing. Vicky can't hold it in. She starts cracking up. She says, the water was like a lake.
It does. You can see it behind them. It's the flattest thing in the world. Because if there was any kind of current, Chrissy and Victoria would have been swept off doing like completely. That paddle boarding. And they
especially were all- Vicky, like she's so small.
Truly amazing. And then also on, I love when like, for some reason as well, like Lisa just, they're all saying it's bullshit, but she hones in on Chrissy and in her confessional. Just, she's so biting, like the way she goes, who makes this sort of shit up, you stupid bitch? Just.
And she's smiling as she says it. She says, what, you think I made up my drowning? I think I made this up. And she's cracking up. Like, she's laughing as she says it. She's unserious.
And then, God, I wish I fucking drowned.
God, I wish I fucking drowned. Holding the chip like a cigarette in her fingers. God, I wish I'd fucking drowned.
Oh, phenomenal.
That's reality TV history, that scene. Yes. That's one of the best.
Yeah. Oh, just her pointing out to that sea, that flat.
That flat lake.
Oh. And then we get to the rainy dinner later on in the night with Athena with her turban on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, back to the sorry, what? There's a line I know that tickled you at the start of this when they after they cheers.
No dinner for you, Chrissy. Sipping the blended berries and vodka. It's so good. It's so funny. It's terrible, but it's so funny. The entire dinner, like Athena's turban is so distracting to the eye. Mm. Like everything she's wearing pulls focus, which is a great sort of way to go about being on Housewives. You can't deny that. That's, you know, how Dorit has kept her job for so long.
Oh, exactly. She can't, she doesn't have storyline. She has outfits.
Completely. Yep. Completely. But I also love Nicole, who like can't get through the sentence that that Athena's art's being displayed at Tim Olsen's gallery.
Yeah.
And if he spotted you and picked you, definitely one to watch, Athena X.
She's actually so mean in like
so mean, but she's in a pro.
Just like a different way to the other women. The other completely. Women kind of just like really throw jabs where she is really like
she's a troll. She's
undercurrent of like cuntiness essentially.
Ooh, yes, yeah. Completely. She's a total troll and I love every second of it. Even in the first scene with her daughters, I think she says, what does she say? With these group of girls, I'm just not sure if it's going to be fun. Like she sounds like she's drunk. She sounds like she's at a drag show, like doing cabaret or something. And she's a pro. I think she's going to be a great addition to the new season.
I have to look this up again. And this is actually this full shame on me for not watching this in full. There is a recording of, like, this is around the time the show came out. I think it's at Universal on Oxford Street, where there was a full drag show of Real Housewives of Sydney.
Oh, my God.
And so, like, a Lisa Oldfield drag queen comes out with a snake on her and all this kind of stuff. And it's, like, I need to find it again on YouTube, but that actually might be my tonight watching.
Oh, my God. I need to see that. Holy shit.
Yeah, if I find it, I will send it to you. But I'm just like, yeah. Just you saying Nicole sounding like a drag queen. I was just like, oh, I think there is actually a drag queen version of Nicole O'Neill.
I'd watch that. They'd probably get the eyebrows perfect.
Hopefully we see a revival of that with a new season and someone's a Terry Viviano drag queen up on stage.
Please, so. I'd pay to say that.
Did you watch from your, you know, Melbourne days, mm-hmm. were you watching Wag Nation when it was
No,
around?
I wasn't no. watching Nagwation.
Nagwation.
Wag Nation.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I haven't seen it. I've heard it's good, but I've never seen it. Where is it? I need to find it.
Oh, it's literally on like Tubi in America. Like I couldn't find it anywhere else. Like I had to use like a VPN on Tubi to like get into
it. I can hack the mainframe there. That's fine.
I've only watched the first three episodes and not a lot happens.
I'm fine with that. That's my favorite kind of reality TV.
Yeah, it's really just like nothing conversations and the women aren't even in the same state. So it's just hard to actually kind of get them together.
Do they get together at all? Like,
do they know each other? There's like one of the first episodes, they kind of all happen to be in the same state at the same time and hang out. But then it's just like loose connections for the rest of it. I'm just like, okay, great. This is good. A half show, but
we're running
with it. Thank God it got made. Yeah. I also just love Nicole when she's like listing off all of Athena's art practices, like says like she paints with acrylics and she uses gauze. She goes, are you impressed with my knowledge?
And again, she's a pro. Instead of attacking her and saying, I know everything that you do and you never listen to me, she's just laying it out there and saying, are you impressed with my knowledge? And then shit-eating grin as she sips her berries of vodka.
Yeah, and she's going, oh, like I listen to people when they talk, which again is just like an absolute like bitch move, but well done to her. One of my favorite lines from this dinner, which I also never noticed the first time, either is after they're talking about, again, what's her name? Oh my God, Melissa. I always forget from Sorry,
sorry to Melissa.
Yes. Sorry to this man. when they're talking about her weight again, and then Victoria's like, "You eating your dinner, darling? She had an extra meal last night, and I was looking at it lovingly."
I love it. It really feels like there are moments where I feel like Athena is also in on the joke, where she sort of
yes
hits the same reality as them. But then there's other moments, like the first dinner, the ivory bracelet dinner, where she's so clearly not on the same wavelength as them and does that really weird fake forced laugh where she's like, ha, 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 while they're all pissing themselves laughing. And then in moments like that dinner where everyone else is laughing and Athena's again sort of awkwardly laughing along, not on board with them whatsoever, that I could watch it for hours. It's just the best.
Yeah, sometimes she's like tapped into what's going on, then other times she is so far removed from her body. She's regressing to a past life sometimes.
She can't paint while she regresses though.
Yeah.
Is in the next episode they talk about how she says that she's, you know, like a princess or something in a past life?
Yes. I think there's, yes, she speaks, I think at one of the dinners or something, she speaks about that. And then I think it's Maddie that says something like, oh yeah, no one ever says they're a poor person or anything like that. Always living these grand lives in your past lives.
Oh, so good.
And then sadly, we see Lisa Oldfield have a breakdown about her marriage.
It's so funny that that's not the thing that sticks out of my mind in this dinner.
No, I actually looked at my notes I had actually written and I was like, how does this end again? I'm like, oh, Lisa goes to bed.
Lisa has a breakdown. That's right. Yeah. Lisa has a breakdown and says she's going to bed, but then ends up flying home. That's right. Yeah, I forgot.
Yes. Yes. She's off the boat by morning. So
yes,
ship in the night. Any other thoughts on this episode or any moments we missed that you had?
I don't think so. I think that's everything. They're just such a funny cast. It makes me sad that we didn't get another season of them together. I kind of understand why it happened. I don't agree.
I don't agree either.
I don't agree. I don't agree, but it was good.
I don't agree that this season's been erased.
I had to buy this season. I bought it, I think this time last year when I had COVID, I bought this season and I forced my boyfriend to watch it. And at first he was sort of resistant to it, but then by the end he just couldn't stop watching Athena, and I think that is the pull of the season.
That was because I had like an old version of it, I think on like a USB that I had to so one of our friends during like the lockdown period got her to watch all of Melbourne. Great. And then she was like, this is phenomenal, I need more, and we're like, oh, here's Sydney, and I gave it to her on a USB, and we met her up with her in like a park like a week or so later, and she goes, I feel like I need to hand this back to you because it feels like like that video in The Ring where I need to pass it on because there's something really dark about this. She was like, look, I watched every second of it. I enjoyed it, but there's something wrong here. And I said, yep, that's really what people take away from
that's
this.
That's correct. That's the correct feelings, yes.
Do you know any of the players in the new season?
I really don't. And I kind of like that. I like going in not knowing anything about them. Like I've heard the names, I've seen the cast, and I've gone, don't know a single one of these people. Can't wait to watch them hate each other. It's going to be great.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's it. The only person I knew like prior was Terry, just from Anthony Minicello fame. So that's really my touchdown point. And lovely to see Chrissy. Oh, yeah, Chrissy's got a cookbook, did you say?
Oh, does she?
Yeah, so you can pre-order it now. Profits are going to, I think, Ronald McDonald House.
That's nice. Did she write it? Did her private chef write it?
I would like to know, because literally in the first episode of the season, she has a private chef.
And
I'm just like, but now she's the cook. So
yes. Yeah. The cook and the chef.
Having said that, I will 100% buy a copy.
Oh,
I
completely.
Think.
Yeah, for sure.
Add to cart. All right, well, we can take a break and come back with some recommendations. And we're back with some recommendations. Now, Nikki, what should everyone be touching down with, engaging with?
So, do you watch 90 Day Fiancé?
Okay, so I listened to Bitch Sesh, the podcast, and they were going on about it. So I did try and like go back to like season one, episode one.
Okay, don't go back to season one. I'll give you a list of what you need to watch.
Please, yes.
Because there is a lot, and there are some people that you absolutely need to just see, and it's not necessarily in order.
That's where the no neck guy is from, yes?
Yes, Big Pred, Big Ed.
His name is, sorry, what? Big what?
Big Ed, Pred. But people call him Big Pred. The guy that looks like Randall with no neck. He looks like
Randall.
DeVito. Yeah, yes. He looks like Danny DeVito crossed with Randall.
Yeah, that's nail on the head there.
Yeah, he's a terrifying person. Mm. But they've started doing UK 90 Day Fiancé.
Okay.
Which is the same concept but with sad people from the UK.
Mm.
I haven't watched the first season and I kept getting TikTok videos just hurled at me from the second season of this couple, and their names are Jose and Louise. And there's always mm-hmm. one couple like this where she's just a really trusting idiot and he is
yep.
Another kind of idiot. I'm not sure what, but he is. He's from Colombia and he's a wannabe rapper, which is a very common trope in 90 Day Fiancé.
As in from Colombia or wannabe rapper is a common trope?
Wannabe rapper. Wannabe rapper is a very common trope. Yeah.
Wow.
And they like wannabe SoundCloud rappers. And so he writes these songs about her and his big song is called I Love You Chicken. And that's what he calls her. He calls her Chicken.
Okay.
Yeah. And he eventually gets to the UK and he's like very infertile. He's very strange. He's got this big afro. He's a really weird looking guy.
Mm.
And the other person that's like decided to film with her from her family is her adult son called Jesse. And he's about 20 years old. And it's very much like he's been the parent in the relationship and has had to like pick his mum up and sort of be the person in charge. And he's so sick of her shit. And every time they cut to Jose and Louise, like doing a talking head together, he like can't speak English. Jesse's saying like, he will go to the bathroom downstairs, absolutely destroy the toilet, go to the bathroom upstairs and destroy that one, and then have a shower and then track water all through the house. And like, I just look at this kid and I see pain and suffering in his eyes. And I just like, I want to hug him. But I also just want to see 5 seasons of this guy trying to learn English and rapping I Love You Chicken. Like, it's just that it is the weirdest stuff, the saddest people, and I love them.
And I assume the music is bad at the end of the day.
It's terrible. It is literally the worst. It's so bad. It's truly atrocious. And I just, yeah, it's always some family member from their family back in the UK or the US, wherever it is, it's like, oh, I think they're just trying to take advantage of you to move here. And it's like, obviously that's what's going on. Everyone knows that's what's going on. But the person who is in love with them is always sort of trying to make an excuse for them and say, no, they really love me for me, but this guy is something else. Something ain't right. Something in the buttermilk ain't clean. Like, he's unwell.
Yeah, I feel like the audition process for 90 Day Fiancé, from what I've seen, is unwell.
It is like unwell. It is a deeply unwell show. It really, really is.
Where would you recommend, like for listeners, where would you recommend starting from or like must-see seasons that people need to go to?
Season 4 is one of the really, like the must-see seasons.
Yeah.
There is a guy from California. This is the US one, obviously. And his partner is this Russian lady who is like, very outwardly like, I am a gold digger and it's okay. Yep. Like, I'm here for his money. And they are a terrible couple. They're the most toxic relationship. And I love every second of it. It is a wild ride.
You like someone to, you know, wear their truth on the sleeve.
Completely.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Thank God.
For sure. Completely.
Because that's what I think a lot of the relationships on that show are. But at least she's willing to say it.
Oh, completely. And her name's Anfisa and she's like, she's hot. Like, she's amazing. And the guy that she's dating is an actual bag of trash. Like, he looks terrible and he's an awful person. And she gets really upset with him and she moves over there because he has like promised her the world and said, I'll pay for your life and I'm a millionaire and all of this crap. She's believed it. She's come over and said, well, you've not delivered on what you promised. So now I'm going to threaten going back to Russia. So, bye. And he gets really upset with her. It's incredible. It's amazing stuff.
Phenomenal storylines. Okay. Where is it streaming?
It's streaming on Binge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yep. Lovely, lovely ad.
You can
lovely
very,
ad for Binge.
Very, yeah, exactly. You can very easily lose like entire weeks of your life to this show.
Oh, I love losing time. Like that's one of my passions, actually. Nikki, thank you so much for coming back to Gasbagging and recapping an iconic episode of Real Housewives of Sydney.
Thank you.
Nearly fucking drowned. Honestly, that is in my head. that like very like water features in my head where it's like I nearly fucking drowned. Nearly fucking drowned in the pool from Janet. Like those ones kind of, you know, anytime you're a body of water, that's the women's like voices that I hear in my head. So that's kind of,
I get that too, yeah.
If you want to follow me, I'm at Gasbagging on Instagram and TikTok. Or if you want to find me on X/Twitter, it's at Dan Tom Morrison.
Don't call it X.
I say X/Twitter. I'm trying to give it something. Dan. It's always going to be Twitter.
It's Twitter. Come on.
I've actually changed my icon.
On your phone?
Yeah, and it's just like a picture of Valerie Cherish, just to get some like joy going into it now. Yeah. So that's my access point now.
That's
to,
much better. Yep.
To Twitter.
I won't say X anymore.
Let's not give Elon an inch. He'll take miles. And very quickly, Nikki, just before we sign off, are you getting renewed or cancelled this week?
I'd like to say I'm getting renewed. I want to get rid of whatever cold this is from my nephew. Thank you so much for giving it to me. Please renew me. Please release me from this hell.
Children are filled with diseases, people. Just remember that when you are procreating.
Yeah.
Nikki, thank you again and farewell.